Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Thank you, Luke. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Great to be with you here on a Tuesday in Detroit. I got the 10 text question. What flavor do you think is about to perhaps unseat pumpkin spice as America's favorite fall flavor? Here are the answers that have come in, Gator.
All right. Do I get a guess or I have to wait after?
Do you want to do your guess first? Go for it.
I think it's going to be caramel apple.
Caramel apple.
Or salted caramel apple. How's that?
Salted caramel apple. Larry in the workshop says cardamom.
Love cardamom.
Jeff says maple sugar.
Oh, here we go.
Rich in Rochester, it has to be apple spice. Mike in Freeland says apple cinnamon. Jacob in Waterford says candy corn flavor. Jeremy says pecan. Tim in Colorado says hot honey. Brad in Lapeer says apple cider. Bill in Farmington says cinnamon caramel apple. Jake at work says salted caramel. Ken, you haven't seen this, right?
No, I have not.
Okay. Do you care to add anything?
Fall season. I'm going to go boots with the fur.
Good call.
Thank you.
Good call. It all sounded delicious, everything everybody said there, too.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. I mean, I like the whole, I mean, cinnamon.
Uh-huh. You like that whole...
caramel, boots of the fur. Yeah. It's all great.
Smells like sleeveless vest.
Halter top. Under boob. What?
DoorDash reports that this flavor has overtaken pumpkin spice as its top fall flavor this year. The company delivery data shows that these related orders climbed nearly 30% compared to last year. Food Institute notes these products are spreading nationwide from candy bars to mixed in with oat milk coffee. According to DoorDash, the study is this flavor is most popular in Texas, where it ranks as the state's signature fall flavor. That flavor is pecan.
Wow.
Yep. DoorDash reviewed the pecan has overtaken, or pecan, or whatever. Pecan.
You got it right, I think, with pecan.
I think so. Overtaken pumpkin spice is the top fall flavor this year. Company data delivery says pecan-related orders climbed 30%. Food Institute notes pecan products are spreading nationwide. Pumpkin spice, old and busted. Pecan, the new hotness?
Not for this guy.
No?
No, I don't mind a pecan pie, but I'm not a big fan of it. It's weird to say. The filling, I think, is great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of adding like pecans or peanuts or walnuts or anything. I'm not a big fan of the nuts as an accoutrement to the dessert. I'd prefer to have like the banana bread. Love banana bread. Why ruin it by throwing nuts in it? Don't want to see it.
Wow.
Pecans by themselves, I think, are fine, but I'm not. It's me. It's a personal taste.
There's nothing wrong. You don't have to justify it.
It might be one of those things. I'm in completely.
Because you're the one on the show that has very weird food taste.
Yes, but I can admit if I'm completely in a minority, then I might be, and it's fine.
Yeah, some of us live in the minority. But anyway, there you go. That is the new flavor that's apparently sweeping.
What
the
do
nation.
You think, Doug?
So I tried one pecan flavored coffee recently, because I'm up to maybe. Couple of cups in the morning coming into work, depending on what happened the night before. And I didn't mind it. I get why it's popular.
I will say, as a kid, roast. When you'd go to like International House of Pancakes or something like that, if you had the whole syrup steward in front of you because you get the pancakes and you have like a boysenberry syrup, maple syrup, pecan was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always, I always wanted to try the different flavors. It was delicious. But again, that's just the syrup. It's not the, like the flavoring I think might be fine. It's the actual nuts.
What about butter pecan? You like butter pecan ice cream?
Again, it, my enjoyment of it gets interrupted by the pecans.
Okay. Nonetheless, we move on. Thank you for all your answers. We appreciate the 10 texts and more that made it in. Sports Illustrated has a writer named Gilbert Manzano, and he did a story this week, 5 things we learned in week 2. And he's got a note about the Lions. Now, before I get to this, I will say that last week, flooded is probably strong, but there was a sizable amount of ticket text that we got. Enough that they were noted. How many people were predicting that offensively, the Lions were done without Ragnow and Ben Johnson, and that they were going to lose to the Bears? Bear Down guy texted quite a bit. Chicago guy was rather chesty coming into this game. But even Lions fans, no Ragnow, no Benny J, offense is done. Bears game is in question. They're going to lose to the Bears. They're going to start 2-7, which I guess technically could still happen. Of course, mathematically, that's still possible. But they didn't lose to the Bears. The offense didn't look done. And Gilbert Manzano wrote the following. The week one overreactions surrounding the Lions were just those. Overreactions. And then he goes into all his reasons why. What we're asking and wondering is, can anybody out there admit that they panicked too much? Now, this team may not win the Super Bowl. If you want to take a safe position in sports, you get one of the safest positions is saying my team won't win it, because then you get the field and the odds will always be in your favor. But did you think that they weren't going to put up at a total like 52 anymore? Like that the offense was no longer capable of this because of the losses in the middle, and that they were in danger of or going to lose to the Bears? Can you admit that? And would you admit that now? 248-539-9797. I, Gator, know that you and I in these jobs, we have to own our L's. when you get one wrong, hey, it's part of the job description. There, you have to overcome when you get stuff wrong, because you're gonna get stuff wrong. But just wondering if anybody else, were you convinced after week one that the offense was irreparably broken and that they were going to lose to or were in danger of losing a game that they ended up winning 52-21?
It really is an amazing difference between the offense and the 2 weeks.
It's an amazing difference between the feedback and the calls we get from last week to this week. Thursday, remember Thursday? I was kind of being a Richard.
Yeah.
I'd had enough. I just was fed up because I thought this was, it was so reacting to the thing your eyes showed you last and not, and but then again, I do praise, one of the great things about sports is the emotions that it brings out in people. So, but I had a bad moment. It was a weak moment last Thursday. But the point is, 1 week later, my God, the outlook has changed.
Yeah, the offense against the Packers couldn't protect the quarterback. They couldn't open up holes in the running game. The running game went nowhere. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs averaged, 2 yards a carry and 3 yards of reception. And he had like 10 receptions.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing could get going there offensively. And, you know, Jared Goff spent a lot of time on his back as well. And a lot of woe is me attitude came in. Dan Campbell comes in and says, no, it's communication, communication, communication. There's some good stuff we saw in there. We'll be fine. And then they roll up over 500 yards in offense, 52 points, you know, scored to 7 touchdowns. And frankly, they could have put up 60 on that team. They really could have. And is this what we expect the rest of the way? No, I don't expect them to score 50 points the rest of the way. But I do expect this team to be pretty close to what we saw last year. I'm not ready to say that everything is corrected. because I think filling Frank Ragnow's shoes is massive to do, but I think there is such high potential for growth among those three guys in the interior that it's only bound to get better from what we saw against Green Bay. It certainly got better against Chicago. At Baltimore is going to be another test. Under the bright lights, hostile territory, are they going to have the same communication? If they can communicate with each other again, then I think that they're going to be fine. But what we want is to be as good as what we've seen them when they have a future Hall of Fame center in Frank Ragnow and two capable guards. Is this what we're going to see moving forward? We're going to have, you know, more than capable play at center and then guys playing guards that actually have maybe higher upside than what we've seen from the guards over the last several years.
248-539-9797. If after week one you thought they were irreparably broken and were in danger of or were actually going to lose to the Bears, that they were never going to be the same team because Ben Johnson and Frank Ragnow were gone, we want to hear from you and what you think now. And look, we'll get into some of the details of what the Sports Illustrated writer wrote, but he said week one, the stuff with the Lions was an overreaction. 248-539-9797. Your phone calls and feedback coming up. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
The difference in doing this job this week as opposed to last week, it's night and day. Last week, it was basically 5 days of calls, most of them predicting doom for the Lions. Let's be clear here. The season, there's a lot of season to go, and the Lions still have a lot to prove. But some of the takes last week have already been proven to be a gross overreaction. Did you have a gross overreaction? 248-539-9797. You committed it here. It's a safe space. We admit it when we get something wrong. But, because those takes include that the offense was irreparably broken without Frank Ragnow, without Ben Johnson. The interior of the offensive line was going to be a problem all season long. Goff had lost it. What was wrong with Jahmyr Gibbs was a take I remember seeing. And there was a lot of, they're going to lose to the Bears, guys. And, they did not just lose to the Bears. They annihilated the Bears. They were very rude to Ben Johnson.
They were.
Very rude.
They were. I told you last night with my brother and I went golfing. We eventually caught to a guy who was playing by himself on a golf course. So we joined up and we're talking to him and he's in town from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So we started asking him what we do. He came in on Sunday night, so he missed he watched the game at home and then came out to Detroit and he's here for business. So we said, what was the opinion of the average Chicago fan when you guys got Ben Johnson? He said, we all think he's the savior. Like the Bear fans are insane how optimistic they are about this guy being able to turn things around. And then they get smacked down in the fourth quarter against the Vikings. And then they get smacked down for all four quarters against the Detroit Lions. And I think there's a lot of shock there, what's going on. And yet here in Detroit, I feel like there's not shock, but what happened was fans were shocked back to reality. Like, wait a minute, they're not as bad as what you saw against the Packers.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And they just took advantage of a Bears team. This is a good football team. It's still a really good football team. Don't be fooled by what happened in week one. Except that the Packers are really good. And the Lions played better in the second half than they did in the first half of that game. What did against the Bears was completely erase anything and get ready for the next one, because that's the way we expect the offense to be.
The funniest hot take I saw after week one was Jahmyr Gibbs needs to change his number back. He looks stupid in zero. And I'm sure that same fan after week two against the Bears is going, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs looked really good in zero.
I'm going to get my jersey.
Yeah, right.
Do I want the black? Do I want the Honolulu blue? Or do I want the white? Yeah. I want all three.
People were panicked, man.
I wasn't convinced after week one that the offense was cooked, because I knew having new coordinators and new faces on the O-line would be a major hurdle, especially against a team as good as Green Bay. That's from an unnamed texter. I wasn't worried about a win against the Bears, but I did not expect that large margin of victory. At this point, I do not think we're Super Bowl bound. I think that window has closed. I find this take to be so fascinating to me, and here's why. They're locking up their young players. Like, their best players, their whole game plan is centered around keeping their best young players here for a long time. They're good older players they are letting go. Right? Isn't this the plan? And they're locking up good young players.
But they didn't trade for Micah Parsons.
But hold on. So that move closed the window. The Green Bay Packers getting Micah Parsons make the Green Bay Packers the Super Bowl champs from here moving forward. Because if the window's closed, that means from here moving forward, Packers to win the Super Bowl, followed by the Packers winning the Super Bowl, followed by the Packers winning the Super Bowl, followed by the Packers winning the Super Bowl. And that's 2, 3, 4 years, because the window's closed. Do you realize how ridiculous that take is? Yeah, the Packers are a favorite now. Got it. Yep.
Acknowledged. Favorite win the division, yeah.
There are teams that aren't the favorite that can win. This guy says the window has closed. They're doing the opposite of closing the window. They're trying to keep the window open for a long period of time. What they're not doing is going all in and closing the window sooner. Trading future assets, that's the opposite of how they're operating.
And I like how the Lions are operating. I think it's fine. I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm trying to read into what people are saying from the other side, because fans want them to go all in. Mm-hmm. Because they want the better opportunity, the better shot, the better odds of winning. And they haven't made that all-in move. Right. And I get that. And when we go back in time and we say things like, you know, do you take back the Darko pick? Would you rather have Carmelo Anthony? Yeah. What do we?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
You always say
no, because you don't trade in a championship.
Because we wouldn't trade a championship for the unknown. We had the known commodity, which was a championship. So it's people that just want to, that they think that that's the safest way to go, is to go over the top for the one time and then deal with whatever consequences you have. There's still a percentage of people out there that think that you can do whatever you can to manipulate the cap, whatever, however you can, and stay in contention for several years. And then at some point, you're really going to be screwed. We'll see how Philadelphia does it, because Philadelphia's in this window where they got to pay their guys. Are they going to be able to? They're, you know,
Well, they've already lost some, but they look fine now.
They're having to deal with voidable years and all this, and there's a bunch of different ways to do it.
I just find that take to be so ironic, because if you think the window has closed, then the only argument I make is that the window was never open. If they were never a Super Bowl contending caliber team, and they're locking up the core of this group that wasn't Super Bowl caliber anyway, then the window was never open. But if you think the window was open before, all they're doing is securing their best young players. That is an attempt and an effort to keep the window open. That's why it makes no sense to me to say the window has closed.
Well, and ask people today, how about this? Okay, for those that won the Micah Parsons thing, mm-hmm. and we've said a million times, whether it was Micah Parsons or Trey Hendrickson or Max Crosby or T.J. Watt or whomever it was, the whatever edge rusher du jour that was allegedly available, that, okay, if you want to make a move for that, then you have to understand what the sacrifice is going to be long term, because if you're going to sign a guy like Micah Parsons, you got to pay him, which the Packers clearly paid him. So if the Lions had done that, they would have a window of opportunity of like this year and next year, and then the tough decision would be made, okay, which two out of three guys do you not want to have? Do you not want to have Jahmyr Gibbs? Do you not want to have Sam Laporta? Do you not want to have Brian Branch? Okay, if you want to have these two bookend defensive ends, which I get, I understand that, but you may have to lose two, if not all three of those guys that you haven't paid yet that you're going to have to. And now we look after the second week of the season, the game against the Bears. Anybody here want to get rid of Brian Branch?
No.
Anybody? Put your hand down. You want to get rid of Jahmyr Gibbs? Put your hand down. I mean, some positions are easier than others to try to replenish, and running back may be one of those. Tight end might be one of those, but to a lesser degree. But I tell you, man, you know, you find a great safety, and the Lions have two of them. If you're talking about losing guys to pay for a defensive end, it's a risk.
It is a risk.
Or, like you say, stay the course, pay your young guys, and try to draft the next one or take a chance in something else.
I see what they're trying to do. I'm not 100% convinced it's going to work, but I'll tell you what. I find the window is closed take to be one of the more nonsensical takes.
I completely agree with you on that.
Tyler is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how are you guys today? Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Yeah, I was calling. I don't like seeing people be optimistic, especially at the beginning of the year. We watched the Lions play the Packers, and it was not the best game to watch. But you also have to put into perspective. That's a new team. This is a new team. It's a new year. The Packers, they're a strong team, and it stinks that we're essentially two games behind them now. With that said, though, watching the Bears game, we had that great opening drive. The Bears had one, too, and then we go four and out. And, I have my group of people that we always text back and forth, and within the first quarter, they're like, oh, the same old Lions. There goes the season. There goes this. And then throughout the game, it obviously changed, and the Lions just kept scoring. So in that group, I'm going, guys, oh, my God, another touchdown. Whoa, another Lions touchdown. Holy cow, an interception, four. And then the outcome of the game was great, and that definitely put a lot of spark back into Lions fans. And the season's not even close to over. It's just started, and we have a long way to go. And I have a very good outlook that the Lions are going to perform very well this year.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Let's get back to your phone calls as we go to Brad next on 97.1. Hello, Brad.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, Brad.
I'll tell you what. I was listening to you guys last week, and I had to turn the radio off a lot because, the sky is falling. We lost the first game of the year. It was just that first game of the year. New coordinators, a couple new players here and there. It was basically a dress rehearsal. I didn't get too low on them when they lost that. I'm not going to get too high on them now that they beat the crap out of Chicago.
Right.
But I still, for the first time, I got money on them to actually go to and win the Super Bowl. You know,
it sounds like you're pretty high on them after beating Chicago.
No, I was high on them before the season ever started.
All right, gotcha.
I put money on them back in April.
Look, we didn't get into it really much yesterday, but the difference between the feeling this week and a week ago, I mean, Ed, you talk about night and day. You talk about feeling like we have a different show in a different town, in a different like line of work compared to last week. Last week, it was therapy or get screamed at for not acknowledging that the Lions suck, okay? And there were a few calls people got through and said, look, it's one game. But some of the takes included a reputably broken offense. They aren't coming back from Ragnow and Ben Johnson. They'll never be the same. And they're going to lose to the Bears. I don't know what they're going to be this year, okay? I expect them to lose a lot more games than they did a year ago. You and I both had them losing six.
Yeah.
Four more than a year ago for a variety of reasons. I think there are growing pains that are to be expected with this kind of turnover. And the schedule's much more difficult on paper. We'll see if it turns out that way. Some games are harder than you think, and some games aren't as hard as you think. And this one looked like just an absolute gauntlet. But at the end, they've already come back and mimicked last year's offense in week two. The interior of the offensive line was just fine. They ran behind them and they protected the quarterback. The new coordinator apparently is somewhere north of completely clueless, which was, you know, a belief last week. And they aren't worse than the Bears. Emphatically not worse than the Bears. So, you know, it's now we've already got a text today. The window is closed. And I think it's hysterical because I think they're operating in every way that leads you to believe that the window should stay open for as long as possible. Here's another one. Unnamed texter. You cannot base the Lions offense against the Bears on Sunday. I'm still in belief that the team that played against Green Bay is what they are. I also believe the week one team will be the team everyone sees next Monday. Okay, whoever sent this in, please give us a reason why. Because I always say I didn't believe who they were in week one because of the evidence provided by the bulk of a roster that was returning from 2024 and 2023. Okay, so you had plenty of evidence that this core of players wasn't horse crap, which is what the performance was in the opener. And this guy says, I still believe that they are who they were in week one, and that's who they're going to be next week. Why do you believe that, sir? Why do you believe it? Because we've got that game, and then we've got like 34 games, and then we got the Baltimore game. Okay? So dominated, 34 games, and dominated. But you think the two outliers, the Baltimore game in 2023, the team that went to the NFC title game, and the Green Bay game to start this season, that's who they are. The 34 games and the one game added on now is not who they are.
Well, maybe, and look, I'll read into it.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense, but I'll read into it and try to make sense of it. Maybe what he's saying is that this Lions team, they just can't overtake Green Bay. He thinks Green Bay is the team that's gone over the top, and because it's a division foe, Lions aren't going to win the division, so it means they're not going to host any games, and it means that they're likely going to have to play at a place like Philadelphia, who's defending champs, or at Green Bay, who owned them in week one. So if that's what you're thinking, then you think that they can't do it.
Let's be clear. He's not only thinking that they're not going to win the Super Bowl. He thinks when they play good teams, they're going to get smoked. That's what he believes. He thinks they're more like the team that played Green Bay, and that's what's going to happen Monday. So every time they play a good team, sir, you think they're going to get smoked?
Well, the interesting thing with this schedule is that going into the season, if you think the Lions are a good team, which I think the Lions are a good team, yes, the schedule is tough. But when you look at those other teams, like Kansas City playing home or Baltimore playing home against the Lions, I'm pretty sure they're also saying to themselves, wow, we got a tough game. We got Detroit coming in. I don't think they're like, oh, sweet. Here come the Lions.
Right.
Woo! We're going to roll. It's a tough game. Goes both ways. Tough game's a tough game. That's what happens when you have winning records and then win divisions, that then you end up getting a tough schedule.
248-539-9797. John's in Redford. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
We're good.
just want to talk. I just heard somebody saying they wouldn't trade Brian Branch. Do they like Brian Branch? I like Brian Branch too. But if I had a chance to get like a good DN like Trey Henderson, Brian Branch would be gone. You win up front. You don't win in the secondary. The game is won in the trenches. If you can run the ball, stop the run, get after the quarterback, that's how you win football games.
Well, remember, it's Brian Branch for like the next 6 years versus Trey Hendrickson for the rest of this year.
So you're going to be good for the next 6 years, but you never go to a Super Bowl.
But it's also, it's not just Brian Branch. You'd be losing Brian Branch and like a Jahmyr Gibbs or a Sam LaPorta.
You can pay Henderson. You give us somebody like Jamo. You could pay
Henderson. They just re-signed Jamo. He's with the with the signing bonus. He's virtually untradeable. But thank you, Joe in Detroit. You're next. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, fellas?
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base, kind of a middle of the road take here as to like a panic or not panic as the window.
Right.
What I usually take approach wise whenever I have this conversation is I'll let you guys lay the narrative out. But initially, what is the window that you believe Jared Goff is going to play at the level he's playing at?
It's a good question. So 3, 4, 5 years at most.
Okay, I'm more in the 2 to 3 window myself personally. Just you get to that mid 30s, you start diminishing slightly here and there. When you're not elite, he's a phenomenal quarterback, but he doesn't have, the arm that was made to throw 90 yards or the legs to make him scramble out of the pocket. So the second you start diminishing, your window starts closing. So that's why I base the window is on whatever Jared Goff is, because once you get in the quarterback market, I don't care if you got the first overall pick or you have a free agent that you think's the guy, it's a crapshoot. I mean, there's no guarantees until you have a good quarterback. You can have a phenomenal roster, phenomenal. And just be missing a QB for the whole window that you have with that phenomenal roster. That's my only
caveat,
I guess.
Okay, so Goff, you don't think Goff's elite. Did you think Stafford was elite?
When I say not elite, I mean at a specific thing. He's an elite quarterback. I just mean like Stafford had elite arm talent.
Okay.
Goff doesn't have elite arm talent. He has phenomenal vision. He gets the ball out quick. He gets it to the plate. But the second that you lose something, you don't have the phenomenal physical freak athlete that can make up for some of the stuff that you lose when you get a little older.
Because I believe Stafford was 34, might have been 35. I got to look this up when he won a Super Bowl. And there are other examples of it. Like, I guess you and I disagree simply as to when Stafford really, or when Goff, really starts to decline. But Stafford won it later in his career than Goff is now. But that's the other thing. At some point, they are going to have to replace Jared Goff.
Jared Goff is elite at processing what's in front of him.
And
he's elite at that. And
his offense is potentially elite because of him.
I would rather have the quarterback have that elite skill than have elite arm talent. The other thing is, if you're in the National Football League, you've got great arm talent, right? Do you have elite arm talent in the NFL? No, but it's pretty damn good.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We're very fortunate every once in a while we get a visit from Ken Cal, who popped in the studio. And I'll just say this about Ken Cal, who's still here, and I'll say it in front of his face. He's the single best storyteller I know.
Right?
I mean, he tells these stories. He basically told a story about not going boating with Sergei Fedorov.
And it was a great story.
And it was hysterical. It was absolutely hysterical. Because he can turn a boring story about going to get a muffler into an entertaining story.
The pride of Elkhart, Indiana.
Greatest story ever. So great. All right. Feedback coming in regarding the Lions. I'll admit I'll feel better this week. I feel better this week than I did last week, but I still have some serious questions with this team. So far, so far. We've seen them get manhandled, and we've seen them manhandle another team. I think we'll learn a lot about these new coordinators when we're in a close game and tough decisions need to be made. JT and Warren says, I panicked way too much. I thought the Bears were going to dominate us. After seeing the game, though, I have very little doubt we'll sweep the Bears and Minnesota, but probably get swept by Green Bay. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Nick next. Hello, Nick.
Nick from Scranton. What's going on, guys?
Hi, Nick in Scranton. Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, yep.
Nice.
Diehard Lions fan, first-time caller, long-time listener. I just want to address the Brian Branch comments. First of all, we probably shouldn't even have him with the 45th overall. We ended up getting him. He's paired with Kirby. The kid must have put 15 pounds of muscle on in the offseason. Did you see him at the podium?
Yep.
He is huge, and he can tackle. I mean, Campbell, Reed, Branch, and Kirby, yards after catch in the second half were non-existent for the Bears. What we did was we shut them down. I mean, I'm not worried about Goff. I'm not worried about the Lions, and the window is absolutely open.
Yeah, look, I mean, I find that it's counterintuitive. The way that they are operating is trying to keep the window open as long as they can. You could say they're not good enough. If you want to make an argument they're not good enough, or you want to make an argument that you think Goff is going to be done in the next 2-3 years, which the previous caller did, that's when you get into, serious debates. But if you think the window was closing, then I'm going to guess you think the window was never open because they're locking up their talented core for a long time. I just don't get the argument.
Yeah. But
Nick, thank you. And Brian Branch, I'm starting to think of the idea that, okay, if they can sign him sooner rather than later for a little bit cheaper, if they keep signing guys early for a little bit cheaper, that can add up to another player, right? It can add up to something. Now, I'm not against them making a move for Trey Hendrickson. I also, if I have to bet right now, do I think that Cincinnati's going to trade Trey Hendrickson? I will bet no.
Oh.
I do not think they're going to trade Trey Hendrickson. I think the way they trade Trey Hendrickson is that with the trade deadline rolls around and they're 2-8, like that they haven't won another game. I think as long as any team is still in it, they don't like giving up on the season.
Bunch bet?
I mean, sure. Yeah. I don't think they're going to trade.
Because I think they will.
Kang, do you think they're going to trade Trey Hendrickson when it's all said and done?
I don't. And then, but that's also my belief that they won't be far enough away from a playoff spot.
That's why, yeah.
Yeah. But
lunch,
even.
Lunch bet?
Sure. Yeah. All right. Just me and you? I don't know if Doug is involved or not.
Well, we've already got one with Doug.
I missed it. Yeah.
Double down here.
Are you doubling?
Yeah, get one with you too.
All right. Well, I'm in. Let's go. We all get lunch somehow.
Yeah.
Just who's paying for it.
One day in the future, we will be eating lunch.
I think
what Doug every day does.
Their situation without Burrow for the next 3 months, they're screwed. And Jake Browning might be okay, but that offensive line isn't. And Jake Browning's going to get killed out there too. They haven't addressed that, and that's a big problem. So when they find themselves with a losing record going into the trade deadline, they know they've got the asset that they're not going to bring back next year because they're not going to pay him long term. So they have to get something for him or lose him for nothing. And as bad as franchises can be, I just don't see them being that dumb and that stupid to let that moment pass them by. The only thing that's a hiccup in my plan is if what you say is true, is if they're at 500 or better going into the trade deadline and they think they're going to be okay. And they want to keep making a run for it. But they've screwed this thing up for so long. I think at some point they're going to get it right.
248-539-9797. Maurice in Detroit. What's up, Maurice?
What's up, y'all? Good afternoon. Good to hear y'all voices.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Absolutely. So listen, I've been trying to refrain from like the SOL stuff and all this nonsense that's happening. But I hope this call is for them. When you look at game one and you look at game two, game one is a product of not being on the field in preseason. And that's a call by Dan Campbell. But consequently, second game, you respond. And you look at the mentality of a winner and how they respond regardless of who you play. So you have to actually respond to the way – if you mess up something, you got to respond. And that's what winners do. They respond. And so if you look at game two – You look at the way Ratledge was pushing people off the ball and getting to the second level. Look at Tyleek Williams, who was arguably the best defensive lineman on that game, in that game. If he stayed in the backfield, he stopped them on the fourth and twos twice. Like, just look at the film. It shows. It speaks for itself. And if you're continuously improving, you take care of your roster. And if I'm a guy who has J-Mo, St. Brown, Sewell, DJ Reed, Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch, who's probably going to be the best defensive player on our team in 2 or 3 years, and you got Penei Sewell, you got Ratledge, you got Mahogany, you got Gibbs, you don't trade the future for guys who are going to improve. Jack Campbell looks like a different player. So why other than Trey Hendrickson, which is an asterisk, why would I add any other player? He's on a one-year deal, $30 million. You take that and you try to increase your chances of winning the Super Bowl now, but you don't finance the future. He still has to – he allows cap flexibility because he has 1 year at $30 million.
I'll tell you this, Maurice. If Gator is correct and Hendrickson does get moved – at the trade deadline, I hope the Lions are involved in the discussions, because the great thing about him is what they do need is a rental if they want to keep their core together. Yeah. If they decide, here's why I'm not in, like, and why Hendrickson should be a rental. Is he 31? I don't want to trade for and sign a 30 plus year old edge rusher at the expense of losing my mid 20s player who's making plays for me at another position. Right. So he would be a clear rental situation. I will give up a future asset, maybe even two. Hey, do they like the Frazier kid the Lions got out of the LSU in the draft? Is he an asset that you can couple with a draft pick where your second round pick and that player is better than somebody else's second round pick alone? Is there some creative thing they can do here?
Yeah, I'm not advocating for signing Trey Hendrickson.
No.
For me, it's strictly a rental plan. This is what I think will happen. I just don't think Cincinnati's going to be in it.
He turns 31 this year, by the way.
And they're going to be forced to trade him.
248-539-9797. Jake is in Almont. And next, hello, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So great, I want to talk about that Super Bowl window potentially being closed. I mean, when I think about it, it's like you kind of got to make a move. And I look at two teams in particular. One is the 49ers. I mean, they've been a quote-unquote contender since, 2017? Mm-hmm. And they've been in that spot where your roster is kind of like ours, how it's built great. It was built to compete for a while, but they got stuck in that purgatory phase where, like, they couldn't win it, but they were good enough to be there and compete. Then I think about a team like the Rams, who were also contenders that were good for a while, and they made the trade by trading Stafford for Goff and kind of giving up assets to kind of complete their team. I mean, it's a tough situation because you don't want to sell out on an uncertain player, kind of like how the 49ers did with Trey Lance, to kind of set them back a little bit. So, I mean, it is a hard situation to be in for us right now, but I do think we need an extra piece to kind of upgrade our team or put us over the top in that real situation, because right now our roster's sick. I don't think there's many rosters in the NFL top to bottom as good as ours. But you got to be careful on who you're trading. I mean, I like the rental idea. The rental would be best case scenario. Because, I mean, realistically, 30-year-old Trey Hendrickson, 3 years down the road is going to kill you when Brian Branch, if he got traded, is an all-pro on another team for a second, third time. You know what I'm saying? It's just a tough spot because you don't want to be this team that's knocking on the door but never winning or truly competing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at the Eagles last year, the Eagles got slammed for, quote, in their own town, for sitting out the trade deadline. Like, they didn't go big, but they were good enough. They won the whole thing. There's multiple ways to get to the finish line.
That there
first,
are.
And the Lions are trying to do it this way. Obviously, some people disagree with it, and we hear from them all the time. 248-539-9797. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.